Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
It's an important day and an important season for our graduates, for their parents. For some, this is the first child they're sending off to college. Next year, I'll be in their situation. For some, it's the last child that they're sending off to college. But for each one, it's important. For those of you here, for many of you, you were baptized here at this church. And when you were baptized here at this church, even though you don't remember it, this congregation made that commitment that they made a few minutes ago to Caroline to you. And for those of you who are confirmed in this church, you stood before this church just 6 years ago, and you made your commitment to follow Christ in this church, in this place. And now as a congregation, we prepare to send you forward into life, to the life that God has before you. And so we pray for you. We're going to pray specifically for you in just a moment. But first, a thought that I want to offer to y'all this morning before that, before we get to that. So let's pray as we prepare to look at that together. God, we thank you for all of the significant moments in life, for all of the mile markers along the way. We thank you, God, for all of the parents and mentors and friends and Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers, for so many people along the way, the coaches and the teachers, the principals, who have led this group of seniors to this significant moment. God, we pray for them that you would continue your work in them in the years ahead. God, we pray that on this morning that you would continue your work in them by your Spirit, that you would continue your work in all of us as we look to your word this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, it's graduation season, and there are speakers all over the United States looking for just that perfect thing, right, to say to the graduates, to inspire the graduates, to get them ready. And when you look at the list of people speaking to the graduation classes this year, it's a pretty impressive list of folks that are speaking to college and university graduates all over the United States. You have people like Oprah. I think she's speaking two or three times. You have Justin Trudeau, Tim Cook, Mindy Kaling, Chadwick Boseman, and even Chance the Rapper is speaking to the graduates this year. And here's the thing about Chance the Rapper. That's what I need you to know. If Chance the Rapper gets to speak to graduates, then there is hope for all of us to speak to graduates at some point in time. And every single person that's going to speak, whether it's at your graduation or any graduation anywhere, this is what they want to do. They want to distill the truth down to something simple, something that will be inspiring, something that you will remember, something that hopefully, you know, in a difficult moment in life, you'll pull that back up. They want to inspire you to do great things. They want to enable you to chase your dreams. They want to say just the right thing. And so let me give you just a sampling of what people have offered this graduation season and the last year or two. I want to offer you some things. Michael Keaton spoke at Kent State just a couple of days ago. Anybody know what he said to the graduates there? He said, "I'm Batman." I don't know why he said that, but he said that. Actually, I do know why he said that, because I'm old enough to remember. Another person said this year, "Sometimes you find out what you're supposed to be by doing the things you are not supposed to do." That's advice that your parents don't want you to hear today. Another speaker proclaimed, "You will have to leave the city of your comfort and go into the wilderness of your intuition." I'm not sure I know what that means. Then there's this one. "Success is like a mountain that keeps growing ahead of you as you hike it." Sometimes they say things that you're not going to understand. One person said this: "It doesn't matter that your dream came true if you spent your whole life sleeping." I don't get that one completely. You can always trust Arnold Schwarzenegger, though, right? You can always trust Arnold Schwarzenegger to say the right thing. This is what he said. He said, "Just remember, you can't climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets," right? He's right about that. So you can remember that one. My high school principal in Ackerman, Mississippi, gave the same advice to every class of graduates. Every year said the same exact thing. He reached down his pocket and he pulled out a coin and he held up a coin for everybody to see. And this is what he said to the graduates. He said, "Your life is like this coin. You can only spend it once." And then he would pause for dramatic effect, as if it was going to sink in and change the decisions that we were going to make in the next 3 or 4 years, which it did not change the decisions that most of us made in the next 3 or 4 years. So you're going to hear a lot of advice during this season, a lot of advice, and most of it is well-intentioned. Some of it's going to be good advice. Some of it's going to fit the season of life that you're in. Some of it's just going to be kind of flaky advice. But here's what I need you to know about all that advice that's going to be offered to you. None of it, no matter how fantastic or faulty it is really what you need. None of it is what you will need to get from point A to point B to point C in life. Because here's what I think everyone needs more than anything else, more than a pithy little saying. Here's what we need in life, our greatest need. Our greatest need is for hope. Our greatest need in life, more than anything else, is for hope. Because here's what happens. Sometimes you're going to be climbing the ladder with both hands just like Arnold Schwarzenegger told you to. And somebody's going to knock the ladder out from under you. Sometime you're going to go into the wilderness of your intuition and you're going to get absolutely, utterly lost. Sometimes you're going to know that you can only spend your life once and you're still going to make significant mistakes along the way. And in all of those moments, you don't need some pithy little saying. You need hope that's going to move you from one day and one season to the next. And the Apostle Paul talks to us about hope in Romans chapter 8. This is what he says in chapter 8. Now, Romans 8, this is what you need to know about Romans 8. Romans 8 is considered by most people to be the high watermark of Christian writing. Romans 8, people, when they write about it, they say that this is the place where it all comes together. After the Gospels that tell us about the life of Jesus, this is the place where it comes together. And this is the heart of what Paul says to us in Romans chapter 8. For in hope we were saved. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. For in hope we were saved. And I want to be clear about the hope that Paul is talking about. Paul is not talking about some pie-in-the-sky optimism that ignores our reality. Paul is not saying all you need to do in life is just don't worry about anything, just put a smile on your face and go forward. The hope that Paul is talking to us about is rooted in our reality and our experience. Because here's what Paul writes about just before that he talks about hope. He talks about suffering. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, and I hope that you will read the book of Romans along the way, somewhere, just not, you're going to read the book of Romans somewhere along the way, right? Thank you. Read the book. You're going to find that he talks about enduring. He talks about suffering. He talks about overcoming things in life. That's what he talks about over and over and over. Paul understands that life is hard and difficult and that often life is unfair. And we know that. We saw how hard and difficult and unfair life can be on the news this week, didn't we? Situations here in Mississippi and in Texas where parents lost children. There cannot be a greater pain in life than that. We see the unfolding of pain and suffering in our world all of the time. And what Paul says to us, what Paul wants to make sure that we know, is that our hope is rooted even in that, even in the difficult days. That's where we discover our hope. Because the hope that we know, the hope that Paul preaches to us about, is a hope that says God is not done writing the story yet. No matter where you are, God is not done writing the story yet. And here's the image. Here's the image that Paul uses to help us understand this idea of hope. Paul uses the image of a woman in labor. And some of you know that. Your mamas know that. They know the pain of labor. And Paul gives us this image of a woman struggling and groaning in labor. And you can picture the image of a woman catching her breath every time a contraction hits again, of squeezing someone's hand beside her. And if this woman is like my wife, blaming her husband every chance she gets in the delivery room, right? But here's what that mom knows in that moment, that there is beauty yet to come, and that all of that pain will become a memory because of what is coming. Paul wants us to know that no matter what we experience here, in the light of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, it will fade into memory in the joy of what is to come. And because of that, we wait. We can wait with patience, Paul says. But how many of you like to wait? Any of y'all like to wait? You've been waiting on this all year, right? You've been ready for this moment all year. Any of you out there like to wait? A lot of times what we do as adults is we talk about how kids don't want to wait for anything anymore. But can we be honest this morning? No one likes to wait. No one likes to wait in line. You don't like to wait in traffic out on Jackson Avenue. You don't like to wait in the doctor's office. You don't like to wait to get results. You don't like to wait for anything at all. And yet in life, we're called to wait in patience. This is what Lewis Smead said. He wrote a lot about hope. He said, "Waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Waiting is the hardest work of hope." Do you hear that? Waiting is the hardest work of hope. I think God knows that for us, waiting is the hardest work of hope. So here's the gift that God gives to us to enable our waiting. The scripture says that God gives to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John very specifically, right? On the night before Jesus was to be crucified, he talked to his disciples and he said, "Look, I'm going to leave you. Life is going to get hard. I'm going to leave you, but don't despair because I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit for you. It's going to be your comforter. It's going to be your advocate. It's going to lead you. It's going to teach you." And then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, after Jesus has gone back to be with his Father in heaven, there's this moment where the disciples of Jesus are gathered. They're afraid. They don't know what's coming next. They're anxious. And the Spirit comes upon them and releases them from their fear. And they step into a new future, emboldened to live the mission of Jesus Christ in their world. The Spirit empowers them. And Paul says that gift is our gift of hope, leading us from where we were to where we can be. Here's what Paul says. I want to read you a piece of Romans chapter 8 that we didn't read earlier today. This is verse 15. This is what he says. "For you," and Paul there isn't talking to a specific person. Paul is talking to the entire church. If Paul was Southern, he would say, "y'all," "for y'all. For y'all did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Here's what gives us hope. In those moments where we're waiting, in those moments where we're anxious, in those moments where it doesn't feel like next is ever going to show up, the Spirit whispers to us, "You are a child of God. You are God's child, claimed by grace." In every moment of life, the Spirit whispers to us that we are not defined by what we have achieved or not achieved, by where we failed or where we have succeeded. We're simply and completely a child of God. In those moments where life seems to have gone left, when you wanted it to go right, when the ladder's been knocked out from under you, my hope for you is that you will be still. Still enough to listen to the Spirit, the gift to you, to allow the Spirit to remind you that you are and always will be a child of God. And here's the good news that Paul gives to us in this passage. He tells us that even in those moments when we don't know what to pray, when we don't want to pray, when our doubts are so deep that we refuse to pray, when we feel that we are far from God, the gift of the Spirit, he says that the Spirit will intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit will pray for you. The Spirit continues to move for you, even when you're not sure you can believe anymore. The gift of the Spirit, if you're willing to listen, is a gift that continues to draw you forward in hope. When I was young, my brother and sister and I grew up in rural Choctaw County down a dirt road, long dirt road. And in the long heat of the summer days, at the end of the day, about 6 o'clock, we would walk to the end of the driveway and we would wait. My father got off work at 6 o'clock, and we knew that if we waited, he would come and pick us up at the end of the driveway. And so what would happen is we'd be waiting there at the end of the driveway, right at the edge of the dirt road, and we'd hear a rumble in the distance. And then the hill right before our house would see this cloud of dust. And then as that cloud of dust moved to the last corner before our house, a car would emerge. And if it wasn't my father, we'd run up the driveway, cover our noses and our mouths, so we wouldn't breathe dust. And then we'd race back to the end of the driveway to watch again. And again, we'd hear the rumble, we'd see the dust, until finally the vehicle that emerged from the dust cloud was my father's truck. And he would stop, we'd climb up into the back of the truck, and we would ride in style those last 20 feet to the house. What we knew is that the waiting was worthwhile. I think what Paul wants us to know above all things is that in life, the waiting is worthwhile. And the Spirit will come to you again and again to encourage, to lead, to nudge, to whisper to you the truth of who you are, to remind you that the waiting in life is worthwhile. The next few days, the next few weeks, you're going to get cards, you're going to hear speakers, they're going to give you a lot of advice. Nod kindly at all of the advice. Some of it might be pretty good. But know that more than the advice, you need the hope. The hope for the seasons of waiting. The hope that the Spirit brings to you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you do not abandon us. You do not leave us orphans in this life, but you claim us as your children. That in all of our moments, we are reminded by your Spirit that we are yours. So God, may we stand in that. May we stand in the face of fear. May we stand to do and become who we need to be and become in this life. Because we trust that there's always more to the story. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.